Let us, as we prepare to hear the sermon, we prepare our hearts by going to God in prayer. Those of you who wish to kneel, you may use the kneeling pads which are in front of you. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee, for Thou art a gracious and merciful God, and Thou hast granted us every good thing. Thou hast helped and seen us through this week, and Thou hast brought us together in safety, in health, in soundness of mind, that we may sing forth our praises to Thee, that we may bring forth our prayers unto Thee. We pray, Lord, that as we look to Thee, Thou would be gracious to bless us, and bless Thou Thy people. Cleanse us, Lord, of all unrighteousness as we come into Thy presence, and bless us, Lord, as we come with prayers for Thy church. We thank Thee for Calvary Jaya, this church that Thou hast raised. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the many ministries within the church. We pray, Lord, for the preaching of Thy word, both over the pulpit for the English brethren, as well as the Chinese-speaking brethren. And even, Lord, for those who are in the grace death ministry. We pray that the ministry of Thy word may wax with power and might, that they may strengthen the hearts of Thy people and help them to grow in the faith and help them to see the beauty and the joy of salvation in the Lord, that they may be stirred up in their hearts to want to share Thy word with others. We pray, Lord, for the teachers who are now teaching our little ones in the Sunday school, that their hearts may be filled with Thy Spirit, with Thy Holy Spirit, to give them wisdom, that every word spoken may be like a seed falling on good ground upon the hearts of these little ones. And Father, we thank Thee for every opportunity that Thy people may be able to serve Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for those who serve Thee in the choir, those who serve Thee in the lunch ministry, greeters, ushers, even, Lord, those who serve Thee in the session, that, Lord, together Thou would grant us the heart of unity. Thou would also grant us, Lord, a heart that is firmly fixed and steadfast upon the word of God, that we may do the will of our Father, who art in heaven, that we may do that which is good and right in Thy sight, that Thou would lead Thy people, that Thou would prosper the church. And Father, we know that there are many in our midst. Some of us are weak in our bodies. We pray, Lord, that Thou would grant them health and healing. Remember our sister who is having a low hemoglobin count. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help her to improve in her condition and be strengthened. We also pray, Lord, for our dear sister who is recovering from her knee operation. We pray, Lord, that she may also be strengthened. And Lord, that the recovery may be swift, that Thou would lead her and help her, and place, Lord, Thy healing hand upon her, that she may recover. And also, Lord, we pray for others who suffer from aches and pains, those who suffer, Lord, from the weaknesses of age. We pray for Thy help, and we thank Thee, Lord, for good health for others whom Thou hast bestowed, that we may remember to serve Thee faithfully with our life, with our bodies, giving ourselves, indeed, as a living sacrifice for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we also thank Thee for the missions. We pray for the church in Miri. Pray that Thou would bless Sister Marilyn with health and wisdom to do Thy work. Remember especially the young children, and we pray for Aidan and Abigail, who are sick and has been hospitalized. Pray, Lord, that Thou would also grant them healing, grant them restoration, and grant this family who is weak in health, that they may recover. The Lord, Thou would watch over them. And we also pray, Lord, for the group that will be visiting Ipoh. We pray, Lord, that Thou will be able to grant us and our hearts the strength and the faith, Lord, as we bring forth Thy word in visiting the various homes and also bringing cheer and comfort, Lord, to the church in Ipoh. Pray, Lord, that Thou will be with the team that will be visiting. Grant them safety in travel and grant them, Lord, that Thy Spirit may lead and guide them and bring us, Lord, safely together. And now, Lord, as we open Thy word, as we look into this topic of gladness and glory for the word of God, help us, Lord, to be stirred up in our hearts also for the preaching of the word, that it may bring gladness and it will make others also glorify the word of God, that we may be stirred up in our hearts with zeal for the ministry of the word, for the missions, for the teaching of the word of salvation to those who are yet in darkness. Now, Lord, we pray and ask for the leading and guidance and illumination of thy Holy Spirit. For we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon this morning is entitled Gladness and Glory for the Word of God, taken from Acts chapter 13. So if you may, please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, the passage from which we have read. Acts chapter 13, Gladness and Glory for the Word of God. Now, we know as whatever station we may be in life, right, as parents, or perhaps as employees in a company or employers, or perhaps, you know, just as an individual, right, as we are, when we deal with someone or anyone in particular, when something is given or dispensed, there's an expectation of a response, isn't it? Right? Some kind of an emotional response. I remember when the children were very little, when I was traveling, sometimes I would, if it is in my mind to do so, I may return and buy a little present, right, for the little children. And then it's always a joy to see, right, when you give presents to little children, isn't it? I see many of you are smiling, so you know that experience. Right? We go for a trip, you come back, you have a little present and you give to your son or daughter, a little toddler, and they'll be so happy, isn't it? There's so much joy, there's so much gladness. And they'll say, thank you, Dad, or thank you, Mom, or whatever. There is this expectation, and there is this very favorable response. Now, think of what it is like, right, in the time of the early church. God had given the Great Commission, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, remember the last sermon I preached on the going to the uttermost parts of the earth? God had given the Great Commission to his apostles and to his disciples. And he said to them, right, teaching them, whatsoever I have commanded you. So meaning, not just to propagate the gospel, but also to teach others to propagate the gospel. But now we come to today's sermon, right, Acts chapter 13. What does the Bible teach us about the response to those who receive the Word of God? And you know the response is overwhelmingly sensational. It is with gladness. It is with joy. It is with glory for the Word of God. Isn't it? We read that in one of the verses, isn't it? We look down at verse 48 of chapter 13. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They were full of joy. And glorified the Word of the Lord. And it brought about a very wonderful result, a very wonderful consequence of that gladness, that response to God's Word, because verse 48 ends with, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. It's a wonderful thing. And as I was talking to you, and also in previous sermon, I was just discussing with Reverend Lee earlier this morning. This month, our sermons are all based upon mission as a theme. We want to know and help people understand that the Great Commission is for all of us. And we ought to be stirred up in our hearts. And last week or last sermon, if you remember, right, I shared with you all how it has been with our church for the past few years, especially in the post-COVID years. Right, we were focusing on building the church, building the faith and the knowledge of the faith amongst our believers. And we've been doing that for some years already. Right, 4 or 5 years thereabouts. And therefore now it is time. The Lord has laid upon the heart of the leadership that it is time. And we have to begin with that awareness. Right? We're not going to go about and do things just as we wish. But today let us see what the Word of God has for us as a guidance. So I want to begin with this, right? The understanding that there's gladness and glory for the Word of God. There's gladness and glory for the Word of God for those who receive it. For those who receive it well. But then on the other hand, there will be also those who will reject it. And those who will reject the idea of receiving the gospel. So we must know these two R's are complete opposite. On one hand, you have those who receive it and are ready to embrace the grace of God. And there is much joy and gladness and glory for the Word of God. And then on the other hand, there will be those who reject the Word of God and reject the idea of receiving the Word of God or propagating the Word of God. And to them in their hearts are the fleshly thoughts which we will deal with in the verses to come, of envy, of contradiction, of conflict, of blasphemy. They are two complete opposites. And the word of God guides us to see and to try and understand what is it that God wants us to know from His word that will guide our hearts and our action. Right, so I want to begin with verse 42, which we have read, right? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So it begins with, well, the dispersal of a gathering, an assembly, right? That's what a synagogue means. And it's also a word that means the place where they gather. They have gathered, and Paul was preaching to them. Paul was preaching to them. Now, how do we know that? We know that they were gathered together. Look at verse 44. Right, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. This is from verse 42, right? From verse 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them. So Paul was preaching unto them. Now, if you look you move all the way up, because Paul had preached a sermon, and all the verses are contained, right, in verse 13, which is his sermon. And then you come to verse 14. Of chapter 13. What does it say? When they were departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So from verse 13 and 14 onwards, you see Paul, right, together with his companion, preaching the word of God in the synagogue. And then when we come to verse 42, which is the verse we've just read this morning's scripture reading, the assembly have dispersed, right? They've just dispersed. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, this is verse 42 of Acts chapter 13, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They ask, Paul, can you preach these words, this sermon again next Sabbath? And it's quite unusual. Never in my life, right, or never in my life have I heard of a preacher or a pastor telling me, as I finished one sermon, as I was walking out, you know, someone in the congregation came to me and said, Pastor, preacher, can you preach that sermon again the next week? Right? Hardly is it heard of, right? But the Gentiles heard it. There was something about the Word of God that captivated their hearts, that make them want to hear it again, just to be sure this is, yes, this is what God has said. And this is the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, through the preaching of Paul. Now, verse 43 tells us what was happening in their hearts. All right, verse 43 of Acts chapter 13. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, now the proselytes are converts, they were probably men, were Romans or Gentiles or whatever, Gentiles in general, non-Jews, and they have converted to the faith. Right? So many of the Jews and religious proselytes, these converts and the Jews, many of them, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. To continue in the grace of God. So you can see that conversion process happening in their hearts. They have already embraced the grace of God. Because what was Paul preaching to them? Well, you want to know what Paul was preaching to them? He was preaching to them the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ Jesus died for them. And there's a very short summary which I will read to you from verses 28 onwards. Right? About the Lord Jesus Christ, how He is sinless, perfect, and yet they crucified Him. Because verse 28 of chapter 13 says, and this is Paul's preaching, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So this was the conspiracy of the Jews and the Romans, to slay, to crucify him. And then verse 29 says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. But God raised him from the dead. And that is just a narrative. That's just the account of what happened. But the spiritual significance of what had happened was told by Paul in very clear language. And if you just follow his sermon and you come all the way down to verse 38, this is Paul's closing statement in his sermon. Acts chapter 13, verse 38, and I read from the Word of God, it says, verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." The consequence, the result of believing in Christ, of embracing that gospel of salvation, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, which you will never receive by following the law, which we will never receive by works of righteousness. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? When man who hears the word of God embraces it and take it upon their hearts. And the Bible used this phrase. It's a lovely phrase. What do they do? Together to continue in the grace of God. They take upon themselves. They know that this is God's grace upon them. And then verse 44 tells us the next day, the next Sabbath day, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. There is a work of conversion in the heart. And it is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. Now we must see and know and understand the book of Acts, right? And this being Mission Month, we tie in and try to understand what is it that this account of Paul's preaching, right, in this place called Antioch of Pisidia, what is it telling us about the work of God for the mission and the work of the early church? And the answer is very simple. It's in the same chapter, right? If you look at chapter 13 and just look at the first two or three verses, right? Chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, right? Follow me as I read verse 1 of chapter 13. It says, "Now there were in the church, there was at Antioch." Now this is a separate Antioch, right? We'll come to that in a little while. "There was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which would have been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." You see, chapter 13 is a clear description, right? And this is, if you like, the first missionary journey, we may understand, of Paul being sent by a church, of a church whose leaders saw and understood how important it was for mission, because the Holy Spirit had stirred up their hearts. And then the portion that we have just read says what? They fasted and they prayed. They fasted and they prayed. And then as they ministered to the Lord, they were doing service unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit stirred up their hearts, because verse 2 said that, right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, which means that they were praying, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So the Lord sent His Holy Spirit upon the leaders of the church as they were praying, that they may be stirred up to know, look, we are here in Antioch. Now this Antioch, in verses 1 and 2, is Antioch, often referred to as Antioch in Syria. Right? That's very close. It's close to the Holy Land. Later on, when Paul, we find, is preaching in a synagogue, it's in different Antioch. That's Antioch Pisidia. Right? It's almost 700 kilometers away. Way up north, if you like, right, in the land which the present day we would call Turkey. Right? Turkey. And that place, well, is a distance away, several hundred kilometers away. But this is the mother church. This is the church where the leaders gathered and they prayed. And the Spirit moved them. Let's go and fulfill that great commission and send these two men, Barnabas and Paul. So when we come to the latter part of chapter 13, and we see chapter 13, verses 42, 40, how these people who hear, they besought Paul and say, "Preach to us these words, preach to us again." You see and you understand it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these men. Paul did not wake up one morning and say, I think there's another Antioch. Let me go visit. No. That's not how missions are done in any church. And if anybody were to think that, shame on you. Missions are not conceived by one, the pastor wants to travel, so he goes. That's the silliest idea ever to be thought. It is the moving of the Holy Spirit. It is through planning. And I've shared with you last week, it has been several years in planning. We've been talking about teaching people the love of God. Teaching people about the Word of God and its strength, and how it strengthens the faith. And that is through the year 2021, 22, 23, 24. Now we're in 2026. You should have enough knowledge to know that Word of God that you have learned should be taught elsewhere to those who can receive the gospel. And let it be so. And I thank God that the leaders in this church understand this. They see and they know. That's why we have a mission plan. And that's why this year, and particularly this month, we have mission sermon. I didn't dream this up last week, right? We planned this when? Last year. And as the Holy Spirit moves us, and as we go in prayer, we pray that the Lord will move our people to know that this is what we have to do. And the result is tremendous. Look at what Paul did. So we go back to what Paul is doing, right? He preached on a Sunday, on a Sabbath day. And then verse 42 says, when the Jews, after the dispersal, right, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. Once more, please, let's hear this again. And then verse 44 says, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. You know what they did? Those Gentiles who heard the word, they went to tell others. Hey, come, hear the word of God. This man, this preacher, Paul, is here. Now, if we know the history of the Bible and we read from the epistles, actually Paul was not, as we would describe, right, an inspirational speaker. Right? In fact, in the book of Corinthians, people speak of him in rather unflattering terms. So it wasn't his great speaking skills or oratory skills. It was the power of the Word of God. And that power of the Word of God working in the lives of the hearers made them reach out to others. And the whole city came. Almost the whole city. Of course, there will be a few who chose not to come. Almost the whole city. They all wanted to hear. And I pray, members of Calvary, you will be stirred up in your hearts as well. This awareness that we need to reach out to others. We need to grow the work of the gospel, the work of preaching, the work of bringing salvation to others. Because that is not something we dreamed of. That was something the Lord commanded His disciples. Right? Isn't that what He said? Go ye therefore, teach all nations. So, now we come to verse 44, and the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. So this is a wonderful result. When the Spirit of God works, and the man whom God has called to do that work, which is Paul in this case, right? And the word of God goes forth to touch the hearts of the people, that result is very tremendous. Right? It's a wonderful result where people turn their hearts to God, receiving the grace of God, receiving the word of God with gladness. But then there were also rejectors, right? So verse 44, 45 and 46 tells us, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So these are those who reject. Verses 42, 43, 44, those who receive, right? And those who receive went to tell others, so more came. But the result was contrary. Verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And verse 46 says, when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it off from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You see, there was an immediate response by the Jews, right? These Jews. There were other Jews who would received the word of God, and they were ready to embrace the grace of God, right? But these are the Jews who were moved in their hearts to go against Paul. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 45, they were filled with envy. And the reason they were filled with envy is they saw the multitudes. Maybe on a normal day on a synagogue, well, they have whatever number they have. You know, maybe 100, 200. But when Paul came, all of a sudden, almost the whole city showed up to hear. So they were filled with envy. It was a fleshly response. It was not a spirit-filled response. Quite unlike those described in verse 43. Those who were the Jews and the proselytes who have embraced the grace of God. These were the Jews who contradict. And then what did they say? You see, they did something actually very, very dangerous. They didn't know it at that time, you know, but it will happen to them. Look at what verse 45 says. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You see, to them, they only saw the man. Ah, this is a preacher. Who is he? Probably a nobody. He's just one of us, right? He's a nobody. Where did he come from? Oh, the other Antioch from Syria. And who was Paul? Somebody said he's a teacher of the law. Yeah. So big deal. What's he? They contradicted his message. But little did they know that Paul was preaching to them the word of God. And their contradiction became a blasphemy. You see how dangerous that can be? When people with little knowledge or people with ignorance contradict the word of God. And we see this pattern in the book of Acts. You see, and I covered this, I think, 2 weeks ago. Jesus told his disciples, right, before he ascended, go ye therefore teach all nations. The Great Commission, we know that. But in the book of Acts in chapter 1, what did he say? Go to Jerusalem and wait for the power of the Holy Ghost, right? And that Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is going to empower them and strengthen them. But the question is, why wait? Why can't they do it right away? Well, some commentators say because the Pentecost was coming. So that was a major event, right, when people were gathered. So the Lord Jesus told his disciples, you go there and you wait until Pentecost, and then the Holy Spirit will be given to you. But as we read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll realize this. The work of the missionary, the work of Paul, the work of Peter, the work of James, what kind of work is this? The answer will be, yeah, it's missionary work. True. It's work of the gospel. Yes, that's correct too. But it is spiritual work. Right? It is spiritual work. It involves physical activity. It involves traveling. It involves going from one place to another. It involves speaking. It involves interacting with. But it is spiritual work. And spiritual work requires spiritual power. And that is why you see the book of Acts. You know what's the other name? You might have heard this other name, right? Some people refer to this book, Book of Acts of the Apostles. Some people put in bracket Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because very often, and almost in every, well, not almost, in every chapter you'll find, right, evidence of how the Holy Spirit works. And the Holy Spirit works in many ways. It works well in the hearts of those who receive the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit also works to protect the work on the ministry of God. Right? Because who are these disciples? Most of them are, if we use the contemporary language, they are ordinary men. They are Mr. Nobody. Right? They are not men with great titles. They are not men of nobility, of great, right, educational excellence. They are ordinary men. But ordinary men can do extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul may be an exception. He's a teacher of the law, yes. He's quite well acknowledged to be an academic man, a learned man. But most of the others, Peter, James, John, they're quite ordinary men. Matthew, what was he? A tax collector. But they can do extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit will help them overcome these kind of problems. Right? Verse 45, which was spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. But then you see, how did Paul respond? Verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold Because they know they were doing spiritual work. And they know they were guided by the Holy Spirit. So the pronouncement was God's pronouncement upon them. Right? This is why I say it's dangerous. Verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing that he put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That's it. Those who contradicted Paul, those who contradicted the message of the gospel, that's it. We turn from you. But first, we gave you that first option. Right? We gave you that first option to receive the message of salvation, but you turn away from it. Now we will turn to the Gentiles. You know, in many aspects, and as you embark upon reaching out to others, there is always fear and anxiety of some kind, isn't it? Trepidation, right? On a personal level, when you want to share your gospel with someone, evangelizing, sometimes you say, a bit shy. Why? I get rejected. Sometimes even get scolded. Why? I've been scolded several times. Right? Sometimes in various languages and different, right, colorful terms. But enough. That's all right. Right? What did the Lord Jesus say? Shake the dirt off your feet. Move on. And then there are other objections as well that you find in the Bible which can sometimes be persecutory, right? Things that are violent, such as what was happening to Paul and also to the other apostles. Actually, Acts chapter 12, which I shall reserve for another sermon for another day, tells of how Herod was one of those who opposed the work of the gospel. He probably didn't know it, but he was used, right, by the adversary to oppose the work of the gospel. So the first thing he did, he beheaded, he killed James. He killed James. And then as if that was not enough, he took Peter and put him in prison. Right? That was Acts chapter 12. And then right at the end, we see how the Holy Spirit worked. Actually, it's very tremendous. Maybe we look at it real quick. Verse chapter 12, the last three verses, what does it say? Right? This has happened to Herod. Right? Verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and made an oration unto them. He was speaking. Right? He was acknowledged the king or the ruler of that place. Right? And verse 22 of chapter 12 says, the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Verse 23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, but he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Right, stop there for a minute. She was struck dead, right? Look at the next verse, 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. His death, his demise, right, immediately permitted the propagation of the gospel even further and greater. And then now we have chapter 13, Paul preaching in the synagogue. Does the Holy Spirit work? Yes. Does he work in wonderful and spectacular ways? Yes. Does he protect his servants and the work and the ministry of his word? Yes. Fear not. So we pray and always gather, right, as a church to pray. We pray, right, on our Thursday night prayer meetings, right, we pray for the safety of our people. We pray for the processes that we require for this church. We pray for the ministries of the church. We pray that the Lord will protect us from the wiles of the evil one. We pray for the session members, the elders, the deacons. We pray for the various ministries. Why? Because this is spiritual work. Spiritual work. Because there will always be someone that the devil can use and will use. This is one of the cases contradicting Paul. Actually, early on in chapter 13, there was another man called Elymas, a sorcerer. Right, we come across to him. And this man, very, very vehemently, right, very fierce against Paul. But right, Paul put a stop to that immediately. Actually, he was struck blind because he tried to hinder the work of the gospel. So to those who receive the grace of God, wonderful thing, with gladness. And it's a wonderful thing when the Spirit of God works. But to those who reject and to the hindrances to the work of the gospel, right, have no fear. When God's people move, right, and when Satan hinders it, the Holy Spirit of God will help his servant and help his people. So as a whole, let's see what happens, right? What's the result of all of that? Despite all this contradiction and blasphemy, they turn to the Gentiles. Look at verse 47 of Acts chapter 13. For so have the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the world, of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And then look at the last verse, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the regions. See, when God works, Satan works. You hear this phrase often, right? If you attend FEBC classes, you would have heard this. When God works, Satan works. But when Satan works to hinder the work of God, the Holy Spirit will help and protect God's people. And the result is, the will of God will never be hindered. Acts chapter 12, what happened after Herod was struck dead? The word of God multiplied, right? Acts chapter 13, despite the opposition in the synagogue, what happened? Verse 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. It is a wonderful thing to do the work of God and to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, as we come to the close of the message, let us be reminded of this, right? It is our duty to hear and obey the command of the Lord, the Great Commission, to go forth. And the Lord has given us a pattern. First, Jerusalem. Concentrate on your church, right? Your immediate neighborhood, your friends, your family, your immediate neighbor. Those who are unsaved, you can also reach out to them. And then there's Judea, that's a little further out. Right, and then Samaria, and then uttermost parts of the world. So we are only at, well, we're still working on Jerusalem, are we? Or we're slowly creating this awareness that we must reach out. And I pray that every heart will be stirred up, that everyone will be ready to share our gospel with those who are unsaved, and then be ready to prepare your hearts for work that have to involve outreach, that you're ready to do that. And may the Lord strengthen your faith and strengthen your hearts for this service. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, that Thy word will strengthen the hearts of Thy people, that they may see and they may know and understand what it means to fulfill the Great Commission, that they may want to be part of that great joy and gladness of the glory of God in bringing the word of salvation to others. Bless our time together as we worship Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.